Hello, church family from Johnny Harbinson.
Hello, church family from Trevor
and Nadine Anderson.
Hello, church family.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning, church family from Frank
and Eva.
Hello, church family from Caroline Agnew.
Good morning, church family from Bill
and Margaret.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning service on this Pentecost Sunday. We hope this service is an encouragement to you, wherever you are, in the midst of everything that's going on right now. And we miss you very much, and we long to be back singing together again.
Well, this morning I just wanted to read a couple of verses from Isaiah 46, for those days when maybe doubt or fear sets in. And it says in verse 3, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." So let's worship that God this morning.
Thank you.
Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost came, disciples together in one place, perplexed, frightened, expectant, fearful faces, wondering what would happen next. Wind like a hurricane from above, reaching like a mighty torrent, came a wild wind resting upon them, bringing an energizing current. Like tongues of fire, like flames ablaze, resting upon them with a message that amazed. Filling and firing them, sending them and using them, with the Holy Spirit speaking through them to women and men. A whole new world opening up, languages and tongues anew, having a totally new perspective, reaching out to Gentile and Jew. Speaking to people both near and far, telling good news, wake up call, declaring the wonders of a God who saves, who offers forgiveness and peace to all. Will you in the year 2020 be filled with the Spirit and with grace obey? Tell of a Saviour who loves and adores to people who need mercy and hope today.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is a very special Sunday, as it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is a special day that lots of people would say is when the church was born. So it's kind of like the church's birthday. And that got me thinking about something that I just love. Birthdays. I just love everything about them. I love party hats. I love getting birthday cards. I love chocolate cake and lots of yummy treats. I love playing lots of fun games with my family and friends. I love balloons. Whoa! And my favorite thing of all, gifts. The story we're going to look at today in the Bible is about a very special gift that Jesus promised to give all of his followers. And it was a gift that you couldn't find in a store. It couldn't be bought in a toy shop. It was a gift that only Jesus could give from knowing and loving and trusting in him. So let's have a little look at our story today, taken from Acts chapter 2, which is a book in the New Testament. So let's dive in and have a little look at our story.
Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his followers to stay in Jerusalem until God sent them the special gift he had promised them. After Jesus rose to heaven and the angels appeared to them, just like we heard last week, the disciples made their way to the city.
Hey, where'd he go?
However, once they got to the city, they were confused and unsure of what to do next, as the gift Jesus had promised still hadn't come. They had to wait. God just didn't pick any old day. Like everything God does, he had a specific time, purpose, and reason for it. It was now the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and all of his followers were in a big room together. When suddenly, out of nowhere, came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It sounded like a huge tornado was right in the room with them. And that isn't all. They saw something that looked like flames of fire resting just above each person's head. And that still isn't all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other languages which they had never learned.
Wow, what's going on?
The noise from the wind and from the praying and from all the people speaking at the same time was so loud that the people outside in the street down below were beginning to wonder what in the world was happening up there in that room. At this time, many people had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the place for the festival, many speaking in different languages. With all the noise, people started to gather and came from all around to find what all the commotion was about. They were amazed and thought it was marvelous that they were hearing people speaking in their own language, because they knew that the people in the room were all from Galilee and didn't know any other language except for their own.
Hola.
Bonjour.
Ni hao.
Some people were thrilled to be hearing about the wonderful works of God.
Wow, this is so cool.
Other people didn't understand and thought the people in the room were just acting very strange.
This is weird.
When Peter heard this, he stood up and started to preach to all the people standing outside.
Well, boys and girls, I hope you enjoyed listening to our story. But before we go, I need your help. This week, I was clearing out my garage and I came across these two gadgets. I want you to have a little look and tell me what you think they might be. You're right, they're both torches. And what's a torch's job? Exactly, to shine a light. So let's see what happens when I push the button on this one. It doesn't seem to be working. Why do you think that might be? Good thinking. Let's check inside. What do you know? You're right. It doesn't have any batteries, which means this torch doesn't have any power to do its job and shine a light. Let's check out the red torch and see if it's any better. Let's see what happens when I push the button on this one. It definitely works. Let's see what's giving this one all the power to shine the light. Whoa. And what do you know? You're right. This one's got lots of batteries, which means it's got lots of power inside for it to do its job and shine the light. And you know what? That reminded me about our story today, because like this little black light that has no power to shine a light, that's kind of like us when we don't have the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us. Because when we don't know Jesus, we don't really have the power to love people that well, or even live for God, the life that he has for us. But because of the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in us and gives us power, it's kind of like the batteries in this torch that gives it power to shine a light. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and it gives us the power to shine the light for Jesus and to live for God. So what I want you to do this week is to continue to shine your light for Jesus. So boys and girls, have a wonderful week and keep on shining. I hope to see you soon.
Well, it's great to have Rhys Loftus join us this morning, all the way from Canada.
Yeah, hi everybody, my name's Rhys. I am out here in Canada, just north, about 2 hours north of Toronto in the Muskoka area. I'm working at this camp here called Camp Minioui as a community life lead instructor. So I help support our interns that come to camp and we disciple them and do Bible studies with them and morning prayers with them and just help them develop their leadership abilities. And then the other part of that is our outdoor groups that come. So we host kids that come to camp and we just take them into God's creation. That's our motto really, is we want to develop leaders in God's creation.
So this is Pentecost Sunday. Tell us how the Holy Spirit has led, guided and enabled you in the last 2 years as you've gone out to Camp Minioui and served the Lord there.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't be able to do this work without the Holy Spirit. From the moment I came to Canada, the Holy Spirit's just been there in everything. Like I drove to the airport without a visa or an ETA to even get into Canada, and we were just trusting that God would provide. And on the way there, my visa or my ETA at least got approved on my way to the airport. And then I got on the plane and I flew over trusting that God would give me a visa. And I landed and thank goodness God blessed me there and give the visa there as well. And then through my time here, it's just been relying on God throughout each stage, as there's been challenging stages. So like I said, we're trying to develop tomorrow's leaders. I'm not a perfect person. So we have to rely on our perfect God to help us and support us as we try and lead. And as we dive into things, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm made strong in Jesus. And that's when the Holy Spirit really has enacted in me and given me that strength and that energy and that drive to keep going forward and to keep working hard in the things that I can serve God. And a big part of that really is just wisdom in decisions that we have to make and how to guide the young people that God has put into our care. With COVID and the future and everything, that there's storms all around us and we don't know what to do. And Jesus just says, be calm. And I am 100% calm, and that's really just from the Holy Spirit acting inside of me and giving me that peace and that confidence that I get up today and I serve God the best I can today and God looks after me tomorrow.
Great. And you talked there about COVID and about the future. Tell us about how that's affected your camp and tell us also about the plans for the future.
Obviously, COVID has affected us here as well. It caused us to send our interns home and shut our camp down as we're not allowed to welcome guests onto the property. And then that's also affected from last week. The government has announced that we are not allowed to run an overnight summer camp this year, for this summer. So that's obviously heartbreaking news there. So we're changing that, and we're going to be running more of an online system there. So we still, the message is still there, and we still want to reach the children and young people of Ontario. So we're going to be sending out packages and engaging with them online and telling them of the love of Jesus, just using an online platform instead. So that's been my work has changed a little bit, and I've been creating videos and things like that instead of face-to-face engagement. But then for my future, I've been praying into that, and I really feel God has called me into some sort of pastoral ministry. So I have applied to a church not too far from here, about an hour and a half north of my current location, even further into the bush than I already am. I've applied for a pastoral internship, so it's a 2-year position. To be trained up into pastoral ministry. So still waiting to hear back from that. So really prayer into that, and to really make sure that is exactly where God wants me to be. And whether it's that way I go or whether it's not, then just guidance for whatever God has planned. My visa here runs out on the 7th of July. So again, just praying that God would step in for those visas. I would have wisdom and understanding in whatever God's steps are in my future.
Thanks, Rhys. It's been good to hear from you this morning. Keep safe. And don't go too far into the bush.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have too much wine." Then Peter came up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this day is set aside every year to remember Pentecost. We thank you that you did not stay on the cross, but you rose and gave us new life in you. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us your helper, the Holy Spirit. Today we want to pray for our church family. We think of those living around the world serving you. It has been great to hear reports from friends, and that even in these difficult times, your name is being lifted high. It was lovely to see Rhys Loftus, and we thank you for the time he has spent in Canada. We pray that you will guide him as he goes through this visa application process in July. We pray for the campers who missed out on this year's camp, and we thank you that Rhys and his team can communicate with them online and through day camps. Thank you for his commitment to serve you, and we pray for him as he seeks his next steps. We pray that your hand will be upon him and that many lives will be transformed as you use him to do your work.
Father, we pray for our church leadership, and we thank you for all the work that they have put into the church over the last couple of months. We understand the challenges that they are facing in not being able to meet as a community, but are grateful for their passion to serve you through this new digital world. We thank you for this new opportunity and pray that many lives will be changed as they reach hundreds of people with the daily devotions and the Sunday services. We pray that as people listen to the good news, that they will understand and accept you into their hearts. We think of people in our church family and wider community who are struggling at this time, and we especially pray for our older generation and those in care homes. We pray that you will keep them safe and healthy, and your Holy Spirit will be working in their lives. We think of those that are feeling lonely and isolated, and we pray that the new guidelines will bring them hope in this troubled time. Finally, as restrictions are starting to ease and more people are going back to work, we pray that your protection would be upon them and that the rate of infection will continue to fall. In your name we pray. Amen.
When will the wind come? When will the wind come? It was the question of a young boy who was sitting with his granddad beside the lake. They had pushed their little boat out onto the still lake. They were waiting and they were watching and they were longing and they were looking for the wind to come that would push their little boat across the lake. When will the wind come, Grandpa? And as we meet the disciples who have become the apostles in Acts chapter 2, they've been waiting for 10 days. Last Sunday, we celebrated Ascension Sunday, where Jesus ascends to his Father and he encourages the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the presence and the power of God the Holy Spirit to come upon them and to take his message and his ministry to the ends of the earth. And so for 10 days, they are waiting and praying and longing for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. No doubt as they're gathered in some upper room in and around Jerusalem, they were asking each other, when will the Spirit come? How will the Spirit come? What will his ministry look like in us? Jesus had given them a lot of teaching in the upper room that it was better that he would go, that the Holy Spirit might come upon them. And for 10 days, they've been waiting. So what can we learn from Acts chapter 2? Well, the first thing it reveals to us is Spirit-empowered evangelism. In verses 1 to 4, it teaches us that we need Spirit-empowered evangelism. Because if you're a Christian this morning, you will not be able to take the message of Jesus across the fence or to the ends of the world unless you know the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. And so these 120 believers, these followers, these disciples of Jesus are gathered in the upper room. No doubt many of them are fearful about what it will be like to minister for Jesus now that he is the ascended and the risen Lord and they are left by themselves. What will it look like when the Spirit comes upon them in power? Well, we find, firstly, Spirit-empowered evangelism. When the day of Pentecost arrived, Pentecost simply means 50. 50 days from the Passover. It was also 50 days from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the Passover, the Jewish people celebrated being able to get out of Egyptian slavery and bondage when the angel of death passed over the houses of the Jewish people who put the blood over the doorposts of their house. And 50 days later, they will find themselves as a free people coming to the mountain where Moses will receive the law directly from God, and they celebrated their freedom and the newfound ministry of God to them as a released people. And it's no coincidence that 50 days after the celebration of the Passover and the resurrection of the Lord, that God is also going to do something new for a free people who have received a new covenant in his blood. Pentecost arrived and they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This was no mere revitalization. This was revival. God was showing his manifest presence and power once again. And it divided tongues as of fire and it appeared to them and rested on each one of them. In the Old Testament, we read that often the Holy Spirit rushed upon a judge or a prophet and then left them. And it was almost a unique ministry to the leaders. But now we find in the New Testament, and here at the beginning of the church in Acts 2, the priesthood of all believers, that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells every Christian from every tribe and every tongue and every nation and every language. And so the Holy Spirit is showing up amongst all the people. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In order for these 120 disciples and followers of Jesus to be able to emerge from their upper room and go into the public square and evangelize, they needed, and we need, the empowerment of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus had said to his disciples before he left, he says, without me, you can do nothing. But he also said, it's better that I go so that I might send the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you and he will guide you and he will empower you and he will counsel you to take the message to the ends of the earth. I wonder this morning, are you engaged in spirit empowered evangelism? You might be trying to evangelize, but perhaps you may have been doing it without the ministry and power of God the Holy Spirit.
With every fearful thought, I never stand alone, for you overcame the grave, the lion and the lamb. He holds me in his hands.
Second thing we learn is that the Spirit empowers the Christian for global evangelization. It's not just for you and me to try and reach our neighbors with the good news about Jesus, but we're also part of a mission and a manifesto that must go to the ends of the earth. And Acts 2 reveals that plainly for us, verses 5 to 13. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem. Remember the roadmap of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The roadmap begins here. Dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Isn't this incredible? This is no mere coincidence. This is not potluck that all of these people are gathered for this festival 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. No. The Lord Jesus, from his ascended position, is superintending all the movements of his church. He has got people from all around the world to be in this quite small city at this particular moment so that the gospel can be preached to them and that they can be saved and that they might take it to the ends of the earth. Don't you also see God's hand in history? And if he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, is he not also in control of where we find ourselves in history today, both publicly and in your private world? And verse 6, at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? To be a Galilean was to be uneducated, despised, not one of the city elites. But it doesn't make a difference when simple men and women are filled with God the Holy Spirit. It's superior to our intellects, it's superior to any wisdom or power that we have from book learning or from the academy. No, these men and women were filled with God the Holy Spirit, and everybody that day knew that they had a power from somewhere else, and they were bemused, verse 8. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own language? And now consider the table of nations. 15 different nations are represented in what Dr. Luke records for us here. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Oh, can you imagine this? These 120 believers who no doubt for 10 days have been filled with cowardice, not knowing when the Spirit would come, what he would do when he would come upon them, how he would help them. And now that they are so filled with the Holy Spirit, they spill out onto the streets of Jerusalem and they are able to communicate in languages they have never learned because of the empowerment of God the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine these simple Galilean fishermen walking onto the street and finding that they have an empowerment to speak in another language? And what do you think they spoke about? They spoke about Jesus, his life, his teachings, his death, his crucifixion, his burial. But gloriously, no doubt, I think they spoke about the resurrection. If we have more time, we'll see at the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter speaks about this Jesus whom you've crucified is both Lord and Christ. He's the ascended, risen Lord. They can't help but speak of Jesus. If you're a Christian today, if you know the empowerment of God, the Holy Spirit, you should want to speak of Jesus. Because God, the Holy Spirit, when he's at work in our lives, he's making us more like Jesus, filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Is God the Holy Spirit making you more like Jesus today so that when you go into the public square, that you will speak of Jesus? Because he's at work within you. These men and women are just bubbling forth with Jesus in the streets of Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday because they are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. But there were those, verse 12, who were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But there were others who mocked, saying, "They are filled with new wine." There were those that simply thought that they were drunk. No, they weren't drunk with alcohol. They were intoxicated with God, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us for evangelism. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us for global evangelism. But thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers us for evangelism to the last days. He empowers us to take the message of Jesus to the last days. Listen to what Peter said. Peter, the one who denied his Lord around a little fire in front of a little girl, he said, "Aren't you one of the followers of Jesus?" So filled with cowardice before the cross. But now after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension, and now on Pentecost Sunday, he's filled and fueled with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He's not just willing to tell a little girl. He's willing to now stand in front of over 3,000 people, fearlessly and boldly declaring the message of Jesus. Verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." That means about 9 in the morning. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in these last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, it wasn't that everyone in Jerusalem that day was going around sharing new revelations about the future. It appears to me that this prophetic ministry of the 120 followers was the prophetic ministry and message of Jesus. There were hundreds of prophets going around prophesying about Jesus and that he was alive and could save men and women from their sin. And then I believe Peter looks to the future, to another day in verse 19. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. I believe he's talking about the last of the last days. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes. You see, between Ascension Sunday, when Jesus ascended to be with his Father again, and he is with him today as the ascended, risen Lord, the clock is ticking. These apostles and these early followers of Jesus, who are now filled with the Spirit, have this roadmap: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we as Christians are caught up into that. But the clock is ticking. There's going to be a last day. A day when no man will be able to evangelize again, and no woman will be able to evangelize again. And no one will be able to respond again. And so wonderfully, this third teaching point helps us realize that while the Holy Spirit comes and fills us for evangelism, there's coming a last day. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, could I encourage you to consider that this morning, that there is coming a day when you will no longer be able to respond to the love and the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sin. And so today, I love how Peter finishes this first section of his sermon. Listen to what he says. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, in your own home, listening to this message, you can receive forgiveness. Peter says you can be saved. Imagine that. All of your sin laid upon Jesus, and you experiencing total, unconditional forgiveness because of what Jesus did on the cross on that Good Friday when he cried out, "It is finished." You see, today on Pentecost Sunday, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, it's impossible to be in a right relationship with God and wrong about who Jesus is. It's impossible to be right with God and yet have a false understanding of who Jesus is. Could I encourage you, listen to him, learn from him, and follow him. And on this Pentecost Sunday, for you Christian, will you take the challenge that this day offers us to not even to consider doing ministry without the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit, and to realize that the Holy Spirit comes and fills us to be evangelists locally, to be evangelists globally, but to be Spirit and part evangelists right up until the last day.
Well, can I thank you all for joining us today, and can I thank everybody who has taken part and for how you've contributed to the broadcast. Let's close our time in prayer. Father, we come to you as a giver of good gifts, the one from whom every good and perfect gift has come from. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've poured out, firstly at Pentecost and then to every believer. Father, thank you for the gifts that you have given to us to put together this broadcast and the various parts that have made the whole. Father, as we consider the week ahead, Father, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit? Father, would you send us out to shine our lights for you, to proclaim the good news locally and globally to that very last day when Christ will come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And thanks for joining us. And just a reminder, if you haven't sent in your paper testimonies, you can do that. Things that you miss, things that you are thankful for, and things that you are looking forward to. And there's details of how to do that in your emails, or do get in touch. Have a good day. God bless.